The InStyleOwen podcast is brought to you by Cybionics, an emerging CGM brand that focuses on simplifying how individuals aged 18 and above monitor and control their blood sugar levels. Upon becoming available on the market, the Cybionics GS1 CGM has helped users worldwide navigate the complexities of diabetes management with more confidence and peace of mind. Thanks to Cybionics, now more people are able to view and share their real-time glucose data, receive customizable glucose alarms, and generate full AGP reports, all directly from an intuitive Cybionics app, empowering them with the necessary information to make better decisions about their health. Cybionics combines data accuracy and comfort of wear, which is important to us all, with a feature-rich app. The 14-day scanning-free and calibration-free Cybionics GS1 CGM aims to deliver reliable, seamless diabetes management experiences. For more, check out cybionicscgm.com. This is the InStyleOwen podcast, where I, Owen Costello, try to redefine diabetes. In this week's episode, ate the dinner, that was fine, and then I started doing some work, and about an hour and a half later, checked my blood sugar and they're 15. What would have kept me stable and was an additional unit to what I'm used to still ended up having me go up to 15. But before we get into that, everything you hear on the InStyleOwen podcast is from my own personal experience. And if you have any worries or issues regarding your diabetes, please contact a medical professional. Now, let's get stuck into this episode. And we are back, Graham. We're back. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Thank you for tuning in for another week of all sorts of diabetes information, experiences, and insight. Graham, what's the crack?
What is going on, Owen? Are you well?
Speak into your mic there for a sec.
Hello? Can you hear me? Is that okay?
Kind of muffly. Yeah, what's happening?
I'm okay. I'm worried now about my microphone. Should I speak closer? Should I turn it up? No, there we go. We're okay now.
I think it's good.
I was talking at the side. Yeah, I'm good. How do we feel? The progression of my mustache has come on over the last few weeks, because the last time I was on this podcast, I was in isolation and I decided I was going to grow my mustache, and I've decided to keep growing it.
I was just about to point out to our listener that your tash seems to be growing now nicely, Graham. Because last time you had to go up really close to the camera and I couldn't really see it, but now, poof, you look like nice. Freddie Mercury or something.
Yeah. In his height of his Queen days. Do you know what I like doing? Because the first time I've ever had any facial hair, because I struggled to grow it, I like just licking it, going, It's very wispy as well, because I know you, I can see you've got a nice beard growth, and I'm very envious of your beard growth.
Owen, I'm not really able to grow a beard either.
Well, I wouldn't say beard.
I'm not very hirsute.
It's a strong stubble game. It's certainly a strong stubble game.
While that's as far as it's going.
I have bum fluff underneath my nose, above my chin. But you know what? I'm kind of enjoying it. And I'm enjoying the hate I'm getting for it. And if anything, the hate makes me stronger and it grows my relationship with my mustache to an even bigger.
Are you getting hate for your mustache?
Yeah, a bit of hate.
Why, what's
people
going on?
People are more. The hate, as I said, it's making me stronger. I'm blocking out the haters. They're just jealous of my mustache. My girlfriend Claire, she's like, your mustache, you can't grow one. I go, you're just worried that more women are going to be after me.
Well, that's true.
I said, it's kind of selfish of you, Claire, to be thinking about yourself like that when I'm just trying to grow a mustache. But that's just the world we live in when a man comes out with such a great mustache. That's just the way it is.
Anyway, enough of your mustache.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be even better next week.
Can't wait.
Graham, you were at the GP. You had me worried earlier.
I was. You said, hey, do you want to record earlier? I said, I'm at the GP. You said, what's wrong? I said, I can't stop pissing and I'm awful thirsty. And you said, are you joking me? And I sent back an emoji.
And were you joking?
No. I had to get a repeat prescription for my bowels. And I had this unusual mole growing on my waistband, kind of below my belly button, but above my private area, basically on my waistband. And I was kind of worried about it because obviously with moles and skin growths and all that, you can't be too careful. So I got it checked out and I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Maybe we should just turn this into like a medical podcast rather than just a diabetes podcast.
If you have an ailment, email us and we'll just come on and we'll talk about it with things we don't know about.
Don't start Googling stuff because when you start Googling stuff...
What the doctor told me it is.
Oh, okay.
A seborrheic keratosis. Seborrheic keratosis. It's a common non-cancerous skin growth. People tend to get more of them as they get older. It's like brown and kind of... It's not very pleasing. And the doctor asked me,
I appreciate it.
Would I like to get it removed for cosmetic reasons? I said, sure, not many people are going to be seeing it.
See, when you text me that... You were going to the bathroom loads and you're really thirsty. I was like, oh my God, today is the day. Because we've joked so much about you getting diabetes on this podcast. It reminds me of, do you know when you hear really successful people talking about visualization? Mm-hmm. And it's like, before you become successful or before you achieve something or experience something, you need to experience it in your own head.
Yeah.
You need to visualize it. You need to feel the emotion around it. You need to be there before you're there in reality.
See yourself lifting the trophy before you win the trophy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have done that so much with you getting diabetes.
I thought I've done that so much with my life, my career. No,
I've had dreams of you getting diabetes because we've obviously been doing the podcast for so long. Mm. I've been there. I've experienced the phone call already of you telling me you have diabetes.
Yeah, so in the dream, is it just me telling you or are you watching me checking my bloods?
I actually don't think you're speaking out at mic.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And we're back again. Graham wasn't linked into the microphone, so we had to set up a new episode. We're back.
Sorry about that. I think it's working now, is it?
Yeah, get back from the microphone now.
Sorry about that. I must turn down my microphone.
Unbelievable. This is what I have to deal with as Graham being the producer of the podcast. It's head-wrecking.
I'm the world's worst diabetic podcast producer.
Yeah. What were you saying?
I was asking you, what do your dreams look like? Is it just you receiving the phone call from me about being diabetic when you're visualizing it? Or is it me injecting with insulin? Is it me checking my bloods? Is it me coming to you crying? I'm knocking the door. I don't know what to do.
It's more so just you calling me and saying, Owen, it's happened. It's finally happened. I'm type 1 diabetic. And then we become closer as friends because we get to inject each other and all that kind of thing.
Oh my God. Would you allow me to inject you?
Of course.
Yes.
Speaking of injections, I thought I'd touch on this because I know I've kind of gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth from this now, but my bloods and my insulin to carb ratio still isn't back to the way it was pre-COVID.
Right.
Now, I had COVID October, November, December, nearly 4 months ago. And my insulin to carb ratio is still like completely random, completely unpredictable. And it's a nightmare trying to get it spot on, because up to me getting COVID, my insulin to carb ratio was just 1 to 30 every day, regardless of the time, regardless of training. It was just 1 to 30, like 1 unit of insulin per 30 grams of carbs. I was always very sensitive to insulin because I trained so much. But since COVID, I have days where my ratio is 1 to 30. I have days where my ratio is 1 to 35. I have days where my ratio is 1 to 10, 1 to 15.
Jeez.
And I've obviously, like I always do, been like analyzing everything that's going on and keeping track of doses with carb counts and types of meals and times and training, because that's kind of what I do for clients anyway, so they can get used to things. And I obviously do it for myself. But it's just, it's so random. Like even today, I went to the gym this morning. So I did weights and then a run. And I came home and I had 2 protein bars before my main breakfast. So two protein bars, a pre-breakfast. So two protein bars, the total carb count was 31 carbs. So I was like, all right, usually I would take one unit. But because of what's happened recently, my bloods have just been more unpredictable. So I said, you know what? I'll just do 1 to 15. So I took 2 units for the two protein bars. So that's double what I should be taking. And boom, kept me completely stable, 1 to 15. And I've just had lunch about an hour ago, and it was a big lunch, and the total carb count was like 140 grams. I eat a lot of food. So that's why I was so high. And I said, you know what? Let me try 1 to 27. And I've been stable ever since. Now, obviously, my bloods can still be impacted for the next couple of hours, but it's so random.
And yeah, I was going to ask, is there any rhyme or rhythm to it? But no, it's just, even if you did weight training, if you did high intensity training, same. If you did cardio, it's all over the place.
Now, I don't want to say that so that if someone else is in a similar enough position, or someone has COVID right now, or somebody has just recovered from COVID, that this is going to happen to you. I've actually not spoken to anyone who has had their ratio impacted for this long, apart from myself. So yeah. It probably will go back to the way it was, but it can be quite frustrating because there's no, as you say, rhyme or rhythm to it. Yeah. It's just kind of a guessing game. And what happened to me last night, basically, I had a roast dinner, had loads of roast potatoes and stuff. And I'll generally always eat similar enough, the same amount of roast potatoes as I would each time, you know, so I can kind of have a good idea of what the carb count is needed. I will religiously carb count a meal if I have the ability to do so. So if I'm at home, I will carb count. Obviously, I can't if I'm out for dinner or I'm at a friend's house or whatever it is. But if I have the ability to carb count, I always will. And that, for me, is just one of the most important tools when it comes to keeping your blood stable each day. But basically, I didn't cook the dinner that I had last night. And I said, okay, from previous experience, I had X amount of roast potatoes. So what I'll do is, I'll take my regular amount of insulin that I would have typically taken, which was 4 units. And I said, all right, because my bloods have been kind of unpredictable recently, I'll add on an extra unit. So I took 5 units. So I was like, that should be loads. 15-minute pre-bolus, bloods were in range. Starting the dinner, everything was fine. Obviously, I couldn't carb count because I didn't basically cook the dinner myself. But as I said, good experience from past experiences.
Yeah.
So ate the dinner, that was fine. And then I started doing some work, and about an hour and a half later, checked my blood sugar and they're 15. So what would have kept me stable and was an additional unit to what I'm used to still ended up having me go up to 15. Now, what's 15? That's 15. So that's 270 for MGDL users, which is high. So looking back on it now, the ratio that I should have used was double that again. I think the correction that I took overall, because it continued to climb, I think I went up to like 17 or something. So the correction I took was, I think I took a 4-unit correction.
Okay. It was over double than what you were used to. So that would have been 9 exactly. units in total.
Yeah.
As opposed to 4.
It's mad. I find it interesting because it's so different to what I'm used to. Now, I was told when I first kind of recovered from COVID from a doctor that the inflammation in your body caused from COVID can lead to your blood sugar being that bit more unpredictable. But I kind of expected it to subside 4 months after, but obviously not.
Yeah, because we've had people come on who have had COVID, some guests, and I don't think any of them have said that they've experienced long-term differences in their blood sugars compared to you. So yeah, it just shows that everyone's is completely different. And even with COVID itself, a majority of my family members have had it and everyone has had a different reaction to it. Like my dad had, I don't know if it was a coincidence or not, but in the middle of his COVID case, he got a kidney infection. I've heard a few people have been getting kidney infections because of it, but I think because it weakens your immune system or might bring on other kind of diseases that you might be susceptible to. Then again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm just, this is a bit of a guess.
It's all speculation, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And even just on that, one last point before we get stuck into the emails. I was talking to another guy who is, I think he's in France. He had COVID. I was talking to him through Instagram. He had COVID and I think like a couple weeks after he was diagnosed with type 1 and he's like 31 years old. Now, I'm not saying again, COVID causes type 1, but there's now a few cases that we have heard of, even specifically on this podcast. So there has to be something to it. It's mad.
What I heard, again, this isn't scientific.
We're not doctors. We're making that very clear.
What I did hear was, what COVID does, because of the inflammation in the body, it brings along something like diabetes quicker than it would have had. So that person was probably going to get diabetes anyway, or was on the way to be type 1 diabetic, but because of COVID, it accelerated the process.
Oh, okay.
Again, that's what I read. That is not fact, but I'm pretty sure that came from a pretty reputable source where diseases such as diabetes are being brought on sooner than they would have, but they would have happened anyway, which is very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Again, speculation. We are not doctors.
We're not doctors.
Just emphasizing that again.
Two men with some facial hair.
Yeah.
Shooting the
bright. Enough stupid talk from the two of us. Let's keep going.
Let's get into it. We love getting your emails. theinselowenpodcast@gmail.com is where you can send those emails. Anything at all. It can be a comment. It can be a question. It can be a story. We just love hearing from the Insel Owen community. And let's kick it off with a regular. His name is Tobe. This one came in over Christmas. He is from Gothenburg in Sweden. And I just hope we are still pronouncing your name right. Are we going with, we always went with Tobe.
We said Tobe, I think.
Yeah, Tobe. And he hasn't corrected us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He says, "Hello, Owen. I just want to thank you for a great year. I know it may sound a little weird, but having you in my ears every week makes me feel that we do this together. I've listened and learned a lot, even if some of your advice in the podcast works differently for me. Yes, everything you say is from your Owen experience."
Did you write that?
He wrote that. "And we're all different. As you say, all diabetes is the same, but no diabetic is the same. Just to give one example, when it comes to training, I have to do almost everything the opposite way. I have found that I am very adrenaline sensitive. Thanks to you, I have found ways to handle this. With this, I want to wish you, and of course, Graham, thank you, a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year with my best regards and a friendly hug from Tobe in Gothenburg, Sweden." Beautiful.
Love it. Love it. Oh, there's my voice crack. I'm not crying on this episode. let's just clarify that. Absolute legend. I love Tobe and he listens to all of the episodes. He messages me through email, through Instagram. He's just a great part of the podcast. So a massive thank you to you, Tobe. Always appreciate you listening. Always appreciate you reaching out. And it's really nice to hear that. What did he say? I think he said, "It may sound a little weird, but it's like I'm in his ears," which is kind of nice because there are podcasts that I regularly listen to, and even though you don't know the person on the other end, you kind of feel like you do because you're almost having these sort of conversations with them. Now, I feel like I know Tobe already, but anyone else listening to the podcast, I hope you feel like we know each other too, because that's what I love about podcasts. They're a nice, intimate conversation and a nice way to have somebody in your ear. So thank you, Tobe. I'm also always very impressed by Tobe's English and the fact that he put in a pun just proves how well spoken he is in English. Like, imagine trying to do a pun in another language. Hopeless.
And what I do like is what he says, and it's one of the things you always reiterate when you're telling an experience from your own perspective, is this is your experience as well, and this is how it works for you. And he is just proves this. He listens, he understands that when you go to the gym, it works for you in one way, but for him, it's the complete opposite. And that's the best thing. But because he listens, he has figured out ways around it. So that's great to hear from Tobe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big thing about diabetes in general, and obviously this podcast itself, is we try to educate as much as we can, but do with that information what needs be. What you have just said, Graham, what works for me and my experiences on the podcast can be completely different to you. So just because it works for me does not mean that it will work for you in terms of exercise, insulin ratios, timing, all these different things. But the important thing is, when you know more about exercise, when you know more about nutrition, when you know more about insulin and all these different things that we go through in the podcast, you have the confidence to make those tweaks and to, I suppose, customize them to your own lifestyle, which is what Tobe has done, which is great to hear. So thank you again, Tobe. Much appreciated.
From one regular, I recognize his name as well. I think he follows me on Instagram and he does reply to a few things. Joe Thomas. And I read this one on, and I think you're going to find this one very interesting. And the subject line is a family of diabetics. And Joe says, "Hey, Owen, I hope you're well. And tell Graham I said hi as well. Thank you very much, Joe. I just thought I'd say I'm still listening and loving the podcast. It's still a big help to me. Just messaging to say how mad diabetes is. My brother got it when he was about 11 years old. I got it at 22, nearly 10 years with it now. And only 2 weeks ago, my cousin, who's 7, was diagnosed. My brother was the first we know of that got type 1 in the family, but my granddad on my dad's side has type 2. On my mom's side, my granny has type 2. Anyways, just a random message to say that I think my family are trying to take over the world of diabetes without even trying. Take it easy, Owen." And that is from Joe Thomas.
Legend. I love Joe. Thank you, Joe, for reaching out. And of course, as always, listening to the podcast. I actually worked with Joe, I think a couple of years ago now. Really nice guy. Always a big fan of Joe. So if you're listening again, appreciate it. And yeah, look, that's mad. I think even just what we've been speaking about COVID kind of leading to people becoming type 1, you hear stories of family members and relatives getting it, and you hear brothers and sisters, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, whatever it is, but still there's no like definitive cause for it. And as we were saying, it's all kind of speculation of it's genetic, it's whatever, it's caused by X, Y, or Z or Z. My dad actually called me up on that when I said, "You say Z on the podcast and you say Z in real life." And I was like, "Ouch, you notice that?" Because I say X, Y, and Z. I think that rolls off the tongue nicer.
He's an English teacher, isn't he?
No.
Oh, he's an English teacher.
My mother was an English teacher.
Oh, mother was. Well, okay, so A, B, C, D, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
I would say Z, though.
W, X, Y, and Z.
But now I say X, Y, Z because I feel it kind of rolls off the tongue nicer.
I'd say Z because it rhymes with V. T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Because it's a bit of a rhyme. Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me? So it's a rhyme.
That's anyway, look, we're getting off topic here.
Again.
Again, we can't concentrate. So what was I saying? I'm sorry, Joe.
So there's no links to it being genetic, is there?
Well, there obviously is links to it because it's not just coincidence that brothers and sisters or parents and children have it. There has to be something, but again, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you exactly why, but it always seems to be kind of speculation as to why somebody is diagnosed with type 1. Even with me, I got it when I was 19, and I think the only person in my family who had type 1 prior to me getting it was my dad's grandmother. But I had some strange virus and I was very ill when I was like 10 days old. Had to get like a lumbar puncture and these kind of things to try and determine what it was. And even to this day, I've been told by a doctor that it could have been that virus that you had that was kind of laying dormant in your system up until you were 19. And then whatever caused it to then erupt, to continue with the volcano analogy. But weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I find it so fascinating that there's still so many unanswered questions. And I suppose we'll ever get to the bottom of it and why it actually happens. It's so fascinating.
I know. Anyway, the fact that Joe had his brother and his younger cousin, he could obviously learn from his brother, and hopefully now his younger cousin can learn from him, which is a nice thing about it, I feel, because obviously if somebody in your family has it, you can learn a lot from them, bounce things off each other, and test out different diabetic strategies, which is nice.
Last week on the podcast, we had Dermot, who was a fantastic guest. And before that episode, we had your 10-year anniversary of having diabetes. And it was a lovely episode. We just chatted. We got a few messages. Now, on the back of that, Owen, I've been getting messages in my DMs on Instagram. Now, I haven't told you about this one. And not to surprise you, there's no messages, there's no voice notes, but it's just one person. And I thought this was a lovely message. And I said, I'll keep this as a little surprise for you.
Oh, here, I said I'd cry on one episode. I'm not crying again.
You won't cry. It's okay. Good. It's from, do you know someone called Ashley Martin?
Of course I do. Yeah, she's one of my clients. Absolute legend.
So Ashley contacted me on Instagram and she said, hey, Graham, I hope you're keeping well. A very random one here, but I just listened to the Insulone 10-year anniversary episode. Very emotional. I've been a client of Owen's for the past year and would love to leave a little message for the podcast. I think I speak on behalf of every client that Owen has ever had when I say this. Working with Owen has genuinely changed my life. Before working with Owen, I had no clue what I was doing, still in denial with my diagnosis, and to be honest, I didn't really care about my diabetes. Since then, he's equipped me with the skills and knowledge needed to effectively manage my diabetes in a safe and healthy way. Working with Owen has been a huge eye-opener for me. He has taught me more about my diabetes in the past 12 months than any hospital or doctor ever has. He gives so much time to his clients and makes an effort to respond to any diabetes-related worry or query, no matter how small or silly it may seem. Never thought I'd say this about anyone, but I'm genuinely delighted Owen has diabetes. I couldn't imagine working with anyone else. He's an amazing advocate for our condition and should be really, really proud of everything he's achieved over the last 10 years. If I could be half the person or diabetic that Owen is, I'd be doing extremely well for myself. So on behalf of myself and all your clients, thank you, Owen. You're an absolute legend. P.S. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work.
That's unreal. Wow, now, I wasn't expecting that.
I did ask Ashley, I was like, do you want to send a WhatsApp voice note? But she said she'll keep it to reading out that he'll kill me. You won't kill Ashley.
That was really, really nice.
That was very nice.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Trying to hold them back.
Owen hates this type of stuff. And you know what? And you know what's cruel on my part? Is I hate this type of stuff if it was at me too. But it's something I love just doing to you. I don't know why. Putting you in an awkward spot. I hate getting compliments too. And I hate it. And I understand the feeling you're feeling, but I saw this go through. And I was like, what's one more for Owen? It's okay.
Don't do that again, please. Okay, at least tell me about it in the future. That was really, really nice. Thank you so much, Ashley. She's probably listening right now. And I have to say, Ashley has been somebody who's just been a pleasure to work with. And the transformation that she has had over the past 12 months has been like incredible. I actually can't even put into words how unbelievable her transformation has been. Physically, mentally, emotionally, diabetes-wise, has been insane. So she is somebody who doesn't acknowledge what she does or achieves or works towards. So just this message to her now, I hope she does realize it. And I reiterate that to her all the time. But to put it into perspective, 12 months ago, Ashley's A1C, I think, was 120 something, if I remember correctly. And in 12 months, she has dropped her A1C down to 45, which is like absolutely unbelievable. Wow. And her average time and range week on week on week on week is above 85, more often in the 90%. And this is with her working a very demanding job, seeing friends, eating pizza consistently every single Saturday. She absolutely loves the, every Saturday. It's like a religious thing she does. Yeah. And trains in the gym, goes for walks, lives a great life, and she's still up at 85, 90%. So, look, the transformation she has had has been absolutely incredible. And if there's anybody listening right now that thinks, I've had diabetes for so long and I can't achieve X, Y, or Z, I can't change my diabetes, I can't improve my A1C, my time and range, I can't get fitter, healthier, whatever it is, you can. No matter how long you've had it, it can be difficult taking those first steps, particularly with fitness, and you don't even need to be diabetic to realize getting into a new fitness regime can be so difficult, sometimes overwhelming and daunting, but it's something you'll never, ever regret. Because I think anybody living with type 1 can realize that your health is your wealth. And I think if you take that quite literally, you'll only benefit from it, because essentially all we have is our health. And if we don't have that, it's difficult to have anything else.
The Insel Owen podcast at gmail.com if you have any more emails you want to send. And if you want to surprise Owen with a message at Instagram O'Toole, hit me up in my DMs.
Please.
Only messing. That's enough. That's enough for them now. I said I'd do one more because she wanted to piggyback on the back of the 10-year anniversary. So if you anything at all, if you want to comment, if you want to tell us a story, if maybe you've noticed something different in your blood sugar management after having COVID, do let us know. We love hearing your stories. We love hearing from the Insel Owen podcast community. You are the reason that we keep making these podcasts. So the Insel Owen podcast at gmail.com. You will see the link for the email in the description below.
100%. And I just want to point out again, we get emails all the time, and I even get messages through Instagram about the podcast and stuff. And anybody who has sent an email or a message over the years, I really, really, really appreciate it. Sometimes reading these messages, like Graham has just pointed out, makes it a lot easier to stay so consistent with the podcast. And it really means a lot for anybody that reaches out. And I hope you are listening to 99 episodes because you have taken value from the podcast itself too. I hope it's like a mutual symbiotic relationship, and we can both benefit from each other, because I suppose the reality of it is you can learn more from hearing other stories from all types of diabetics from all over the world than you can living with it by yourself. I know I have learned so much from other people. I hope you have too, and I hope you continue to do. So until then, am I signing off here?
Yeah, I think we're ready to go.
Good to go. Until then,
we're good to G.
Have a good day. Have a good week. Look after those blood sugars. And we will chat to you next week.
Bye.
Take it easy.